How many believe in miracles? Can I see your hand? Okay. That's good, because if you believe in miracles, that's the first stage of actually experiencing one, is to believe that they exist. But here's the challenge, is that we often regulate the manifestation of a miracle from the natural perspective. How many know that miracles are supernatural? That means exceeds the natural, right? So if a miracle is exceeding the natural, for us to regulate our approach or our belief that we're about to see one based on natural evidence is out of sync. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5, right? Chapter 5, verse 7. So, you know, Jesus was telling the disciples that, you know, in the middle of a storm, to have the faith of God. Really, that's what it says in the Greek, have the faith of God. He really wasn't punishing them. He was just instructing them. But sometimes when you're in the middle of a storm like that, it's like, get me out of here. Throw me a life preserver. Do something. But I can't stand where I'm at right now because it's too intimidating in the natural. And all evidence is indicating that I'm going to perish. Have you ever been in those kind of circumstances or situations? Not enough money or sickness or depression comes on you, or somebody in your family does something that just rattles the entire home, creates insecurity in everybody. All these things happen. So, but Jesus said, what I need you to do is have the faith of God. And that's important, because if you and I are going to see miraculous things, we have to tap into the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Now, what kind of faith does God have? That's a good, interesting question. Because when he said, light be, there wasn't a little sliver, or there wasn't like a little glimmer or a little candlelight somewhere on the earth where God got encouraged and said, well, maybe I can make that into something bigger. Actually, there was darkness that covered the earth. There was no form. It was totally without a form and void of any kind of substance. It was chaotic. And God was able to create the cosmos out of chaos. But he didn't have anything to begin with. So here's the encouragement that I want you and me to get today. And that is, we don't need any physical, natural evidence to operate in the miraculous. Amen? Because if we're going to operate in the faith of God, God said, let there be light, and light was, and it continues to be. So I know that I can operate the same way, because I have been created in the image of God. I have been created in his likeness. Let me just tell you right now, there are no second class creations in this room. You're not like a broken piece, you know, where the mold was cracked, you know, up in the upper. Like when God formed you and there was a crack in the mold by the head part and you came out with a crack in your head, you know, so to speak. No, God doesn't have any cracked molds. He didn't make any mistakes, didn't make any junk, didn't make any garbage. You and I have been created perfectly in the image of God. God has breathed into you and me his life. Therefore, we walk by faith and not by sight. We have the habit of calling things that are not as though they were. We walk around and we appear to be out of our minds. When you talk to people that are miraculously minded, they don't normally fit into the society in which we're planted, because we do the exact opposite. When everybody says it's half empty, we stand up and go, no, it's half full. You get around those kind of people and it impacts you. And that's the kind of generation that I want to be hooked up with and part of. See, having the faith of God is to have faith in what God has given you. Let me say that again. Have faith in what God has given you. He says, oh, there's the problem. He didn't give me very much. Look at her. She has all the good looks. She keeps her weight off. He has hair on top of his head. He's more handsome. She's taller than me. I mean, we could go on and on in comparisons. But let me tell you something. God gave you just enough to do anything he asks you to do. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Amen? No. So I need to realize every morning when I get up, God, thank you that you have given me everything I need. I thank you, Lord, according to your word, that I'm anointed. Your word says I have an anointing. Jesus Christ. Christ isn't his last name, so you can look it up in the directory under C. It is Jesus, the Savior of mankind, the anointed one of God. So I realize that if Christ be in me, I've got expectation of the glory or the manifestation of God. So therefore, I'm an anointed man this morning. Doesn't matter what is around me or what other people think of me or what I've done or haven't done. Understand something, that you are anointed. You've got to rehearse this on a continual basis, because everything in the natural will challenge you to get you to believe that you're not as anointed as the next person or anointed enough to see the miraculous take place in your life. So with me, look at somebody over to the right or left and say, you are anointed. Whew. Look back at him and said, you bet, baby, I am anointed. Come on. You need to really get that in your spirit, that you got it, man. I am the most anointed man in the universe. I don't know about that. I don't think you're that anointed. I don't really care what you think. I am anointed, right? I am anointed. I lack no thing in Christ. Nothing. No thing. I lack nothing in him. Say that with me. I lack nothing in him. I lack nothing in him. Meaning I have the power. I have the talent. I have the ability. I have the resources. I have everything in me given by God to fulfill my destiny. I don't lack one thing. I am a miracle in the making. It's a mentality of agreement. What are you saying? Have the faith of God. God believes he can do anything. You know, the little kid said, can God create a rock that's so heavy that even he couldn't lift it? Listen to me. God can do anything. And we have that same kind of God faith. Now look at Matthew 25, verses 14 to 28. This is the story of what we call the parable of the talents. Do you remember this story? You look at verse 14 and Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like. This is how the kingdom operates. It's like a man that's traveling to a far country called all of his servants together. And he delivered what? Goods to them. God's delivered goods to you. If you can go to the next verse, please. He's delivered goods to you and me. Now, here's some of our problem that we have. If you go into the next verse, please. Verse 16. He tells us that he began to distribute it. He said, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. If you can go on to the next verse and let's just look at this story. Likewise, he who had received two gained two more. So here's what happened. Jesus came and he said, I'm going to give you five talents. Now the person sitting next to him got two talents. Now there you go, right there. It's easy to slip out of faith and go, why did they get five and I only got two? But watch this. The third person only got one talent. And we see that he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, we know the rest of the story. We don't have to put the verses up. But when he comes back, we find the five doubled it, the two doubled it, and the one goes, I knew you were an austere man. I knew that you were difficult. So I buried the talent in the ground and here's your one talent. Thanks a lot. Give me one talent. What am I going to do with one talent? I can't create with one talent. Am I supposed to be able to walk by faith with one talent? If I had five talents, maybe I could do more in faith. But you only gave me one talent. Now, if I were to walk around the day and give everybody $100 bills, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? I'd give you a $100 bill, but half of you, I'd only give you $50. I would create a split in the church. And then I would come up to the third group and give you $1 bills. So $1 bills in this section. You're going to still love me if I give you $1 bills. This section gets $100 bills. Look how excited. See, you all weren't excited because it was $1. It was one talent. So you were like, I want one talent. I give you 100 and you're all like, yeah! And over here, I give you two talents. And he just moved to go. And Pastor Troy just moved in the middle section. So it's easy for us to look and compare and say, They have more than I have. If I was as tall, if I could sing, if I could preach, if I had this, if I had that, then I would be able to operate in faith. But that's not the qualifier. You have to understand that you and I got out of bed this morning, we are the anointed of God. We have to understand when we got up this morning, we have been talented by God. Say, I have been talented. In other words, every person in this room has talent because it was given to you by God. And the talent that you have been given is enough to enter into the realm of the miraculous. Do not despise small beginnings. You think, well, it's not big enough, God. If it was bigger, I could do this, but it's just so small. Remember the prophet? He told the servant, go back to the sea and tell me what you see. He said, it's about to rain. He said, okay. And he went out running. He's looking around, doesn't see anything, comes back. He said, I'm sorry, master. There's no clouds. He said, go look again. All right, again. And he ran back and he looked a second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. Do you see anything? No, there's nothing out there but a cloud the size of a man's hand. And so what did the prophet say? That's enough. Run, hurry, it's about to rain, it's going to storm, get yourself moving. I'm telling you, gird up your loins and get down to the bottom of the mountain because God is about to do a miraculous thing. Now, if you were standing there on that mountain that day, you'd be like, that's not enough to make me run. That's not even enough to make me get my umbrella out. See, that's how we kind of approach the miraculous, is that we think that small means no miracle. We think that a little bit limits God and that he can't work with that little, but if it was bigger, I'd be running. Let me tell you something. Don't despise small beginnings. It doesn't matter if you have five or you have two or you've been given one. You need to realize that you are anointed and you are talented. I woke up this morning one of the most talented men of God that's walking on the planet today. In 2014, I don't know this world has ever seen a more talented person than me. I am the most anointed. When I got out of bed today, the whole world shouted, "That man is anointed." Why? Because the Bible said that I've received an anointing from God. Come on, look over at somebody and say, do not despise small beginnings. Now, if you were in a battle, and say there were Philistines everywhere, Judges chapter 15, you can look at the story, and your name is Samson, and there's all these enemy around you, and they're about to go to war with you, and you're looking around for something. Like a sword or a shield or AK-47 or something to kind of defeat this enemy. And all you see is a jawbone of a donkey. I'm like, come on, God. This enemy is so big and you can't even get me a sword? You got to give me this jawbone of a donkey? But Samson picks it up and what does he do? He wreaks havoc on the enemy. Was it in the jawbone? No. It was in what was available to a man that had no limits on his anointing. It wasn't the jawbone, it was whose hand it was in. Don't ever despise small beginnings. Think, I don't have enough. This isn't much. This isn't compared to what they have. Honey, if you're anointed, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. Put it in my hand, and there's about to be a miracle expression as a result of my faith of God operating in my life. You follow what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. Don't disqualify yourself because you just have a jawbone in your back pocket. Or you've received one talent. Never say, I don't have. Never say, I don't have enough. Learn to say, I have all I will ever need because I'm anointed. Come on, lift up your hands and shout it with me. I have all I will ever need because I'm anointed. Come on, say it again. I have all I will ever need because I'm anointed. One last time. I have it all. Why? Because I'm anointed. So you can deal me a jawbone and it doesn't matter. Give me a cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm not moved. Because that cloud has to rest in the anointing. That's me. So it doesn't matter what I have in the natural, because it's not qualifying the miraculous. What's qualifying the miraculous is the anointing that is in me. And I realize that my anointing is enough because God talented me. How many believe that one talent from God is as powerful as five talents from God? You see what I'm saying? Listen, don't think just because that person has more ability in the natural that they're more talented than you are in the spiritual. Don't ever begin to qualify yourself or compare yourself among yourself. The Bible said that is unwise. It limits faith from operating in your life. Now, in Mark chapter 6, there's a great story there. It's 4,000 or 5,000 people listening to Jesus preach. And after a few days, they're hungry, haven't eaten. And the mall was closed, and Arby's closed for the night, and Burger King was shut down, and nothing was operating. And Jesus said, Master, we need to let these people go here. They got to get something to eat. And Jesus said, well, you know, the mall's closed. Arby's is closed. Burger King is down. You know, why don't you feed them? Excuse me? Will us feed them? He just said, we're supposed to feed 4,000 people. And Jesus wasn't laughing. He was looking square into their eyes and said, you're talented, you're anointed, and you have the ability to do this, or I wouldn't have asked you. Now catch that, because God will never ask you to do a thing that he hasn't given you the ability to perform it. No, you can be that husband. Stop, don't say that. You can be that obedient child. Yes, you can be that mother. Yes, you can be that teacher. Yes, you can operate in the prophetic. Why? Because God said it. And if God said it, he will give you the ability to perform it. So they're looking at each other thinking, what are we going to do? He wants us to feed 5,000 people. And Jesus was tired of hearing why they couldn't do it. And he got to the point and he said, what do you have? And one disciple took a step of faith and said, hey, Jesus, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And all the other disciples looked at him and thought he was crazy. And Jesus said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Notice he didn't say, all right, start breaking that up in a million pieces. You know when you have a birthday cake and too many people show up and you got to cut it in smaller pieces so everybody gets a piece? He didn't say, break it up in 4,000 pieces. He said, bring it to me. That which was impossible, that little thing was brought to Jesus, who is the anointed one, with his anointing. And suddenly that which wasn't enough was placed in the hand that had more than enough. And suddenly the equation was multiplication. And we find that all the people were fed and there were baskets full that were left over. Jesus wasn't interested in what they didn't have. He only wanted to engage in what they did have. Don't ever hold back what you think isn't enough because it won't matter. When you put it in the hand of God, even the little thing that you're holding on to that no one else thinks is significant, you bring that insignificance in the natural and you put it in the hands of Jesus Christ. Watch the anointing multiply it and just astound the multitudes about the power and the ability and the miraculous works of God. He'll never ask you to do something that he will not empower you and give you the ability to get it done. Don't you ever sit there in the morning and say, I won't be able to do this. I won't, I can't is not in your vocabulary, because I am anointed and I am talented. Don't ever compare yourself among others. Well, if I was just tall, like Pastor, 6'4½. If I was just as handsome as Lowell Anderson with that black eye from surgery. If I was just as wealthy as her, if I was just as influential as him, wow, I wish I was LeBron James. I wish I had this, or I wish I knew them. Then I could be used of God. Don't you disqualify yourself and minimize the anointing of God in your life. You got to get up in the morning and say it with me. Come on, say it. I'm anointed. Say, I'm talented. Tell, I'm awesome. I have all the resources I'll ever need to perform in the miraculous. Today, I'm expecting miracles. See, you and I have to get this mentality in our brain every day. Stop telling me what you don't have and get ready for the multiplication. See, here's the problem. We sometimes forget where we are because a lot of times we think we're in the wilderness with no Burger King, with 4,000 people hungry, with no solutions. That's where you think you are, but that's not where you are. Where you are is with Him. And suddenly that changes everything. See, you are not in lack. You are not in sickness. You are not in depression. You say, well, wait a minute, I feel the blues today. Well, listen, you may feel them, but it's illegal. You're not in them. They're trying to get in you. But they have to understand something about where you are. If you know where you are, then depression, lack, sickness, all these other things are going to have to make a decision whether they want to take on God or not. Because the Bible said you are under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on, you need to realize where you are. I am under the shadow of the Almighty. See, I need to remember. I need to tell myself, well, I'm in trouble. No, I'm not in trouble. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. No, 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 I am not in lack. I am in the palm of His hand. Come on, no, 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 I am not in depression. I am the apple of His eye. I am the center of His focus. I am that which is one thing God can't do without. That's really what it means when you say He's the apple of His eye. God has made you and me a necessity for the miraculous. Isn't that awesome? You get up in the morning and say, God, what are we going to do today? I know that I'm a necessity for You to show up and show out. So let's get it on, Jesus. The whole world is groaning for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. God, they're saying, look, come on, just let it out. Come on, just let it out. Just believe God. Just believe God. And all of a sudden we see the miraculous take place, and it doesn't matter what's around you. I just want to warn you, depression. I know you're coming on me this morning. I just want to warn you, insignificance and rejection. Oh, let me just give you a heads up. I am in the shadow of the Almighty. And for you to come on me means you got to come in here. And I just want to warn you, God will take care of you if you get too close. Just remember where you are. Don't ever forget where you are. I'm in the hollow of His hand. Matter of fact, the scripture says we're carved in the image right in the palm of His hand. You and I are God's focus today. Like David, when you know you're equipped and you're empowered, you're going to run towards your enemy, not shrink back in fear. There's no possible way. I got to stop telling God what I don't have. I got to stop telling God what I can't do. I need to start declaring by the faith of God of what He can do through me. Listen, I didn't write the Bible, neither did you. God chose you and me to be an expression of His faith. God gave us this faith that we would operate in on a daily basis. We call those things that are not as though they were. We declare them to be. You know, there's a lot of times I make hospital visits, and sometimes I get requests from the church body. They say, hey, Pastor, would you go visit my father? And I've learned over the years that it's always good to ask this question. Does he know I'm coming? Are you asking me or did he request it? Why do I ask that? Because there's been times I've walked in those rooms and, you know, I said, hello, Mr. Smith. And they're like, what do you want? I'm so-and-so's pastor and I just came to pray for you. I don't want prayer. I'm like, okay. So I've always asked that question. I always ask that question because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Because when I come in, I usually sing, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. Praise the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you." And oftentimes I'll get on my knees and grab hold of that person's hand and pray for them. Now, some folk don't like that. And I just don't want to get hit over the head with a bedpan. So there have been times I've walked in with a little bit of intimidation. I walk in going, should I? Should I not? Well, how am I going to be greeted? It's sort of like the four lepers. Remember them? They were stuck in a land called leprosy. Couldn't go in the city. Couldn't go into the enemy's camp. And they looked at each other and they go, dudes, we're going to die here. Let's do something. So they said, well, let's go into the enemy's camp. So here they go, marching into the enemy's camp. I wouldn't even say marching. Oh, when the saints come dragging in. Oh, when the saints come dragging in. They were bringing... I mean, you know, limbs were no function in them. You know what I'm saying? They're just dragging into the enemy's camp. Now, you can imagine the enemy looking at these four lepers making an advance into their camp. And them going, wow, that's hilarious. Look at these four lepers coming in. Somebody go out there and smash them. But that's not what happened. It's the craziest thing. God made their dragging feet and their little faith. Let me just release you. You don't have to have great faith to do great miracles. Matter of fact, the Bible said, faith is the size of the grain of a mustard seed. That's all you and I need. We can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall obey thee. I'm thinking, God, one little mustard seed size faith? Whoo, I got that. I'm talented enough to have one of them. Okay, let me get a mountain. Let me talk to a mountain. Let's try this out. So they had little faith. Little faith. Advancing towards the enemy. But you know what God does with little faith? He reinterprets your dragging of your limbs and your fear and intimidation into an appearance of a million-man army. All of a sudden now, they didn't see four lepers. They heard the sound of a million-man army. And suddenly that battle cry, roar! And they tucked tail and ran out of the camp. Now, there's been times I've walked into these hospital rooms and I said, God, if you can change the appearance of four lepers, you can change the appearance of this 6'4" gray-haired preacher who's a little intimidated by Mr. Smith because I don't know if he wants me here. And so you know what I got to believe? If God can take four lepers into a million-man army, God can take a preacher. And when I walk into that room, 201, I don't see a preacher, 6'4", 63, gray hair. I see a 25-foot golden angel with the aura of God with wings. And I walk into that room, and I'm like, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm like, I declare you healed, healed, healed. Woof, 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 woof. And they say, who was just in the room? I don't know, but whatever it was awesome. Do not think you will be seen the way you presently are to your enemies. I am a transformer. Come on. I may look like a garbage can, but buddy, when I get my anointing on, suddenly I transform into a mighty angel. I remember the story Dr. Lester Summerall told me once. He was trying to get a zoning variance to build this church in South Bend, Indiana. And the city wouldn't give it to him. kept denying. He said, blessed be the name of God. I walked into that mayor's office and I told him that God told me to build this thing and you're going to help me build it. He said, I stood up on his chair, then I stood up on his desk, and I looked down at him and I said, listen to me, you're not going to defy God, are you? And the mayor said, no, sir, here's your permit. I don't know how he saw Dr. Summerall, but I'm going to tell you one thing. God can transform your feeble, weak, and disgusted, busted, confused, sometime depressed, wondering if you will, sometime wondering if you won't. But if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, you might come in limping. But let me tell you, God will transform your appearance to your enemy, and they will have to bow because the glory of God is upon your life. Come on now. If you're going to hand clap Jesus, give him some praise. Come on. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, give him some praise. You know, some people need to realize you're anointed to be you. Say, I'm anointed to be me. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're anointed to be you. Now listen, you get in trouble when you try to be like them. You try to be like them. You're not anointed to be them. If I could just get this in the minds of Christians. I want to be like her because she's so anointed. Honey, you're anointed. You don't have to start wearing your hair like she does. Dressing like she dresses. Talking like she talks. Because she's so anointed because you want some of that. Look at somebody and say, stay in your lane. When you get out of your lane, when you try to mimic somebody else, when you try to be like Mike, you get your anointing off of you. You lose your advantage because God anointed you to be you. You are the best you that's walking on the face of this earth. There ain't nobody like you. God made you. Woo! God made you. So quit trying to compare with other people. You know, God said, hey, Moses, what's that in your hand? Oh, this old stick, nothing. Picked it up on the way out of Egypt. Thought I better have one. You know, these roads are rocky and hills are steep. He said, that's cool. He said, throw it down. Let's see what's in that stick. Suddenly became a serpent. Hey, Moses, lift that rod up because watch what I can do with that water. Just lift the stick up. It's just a stick. Lift it up. And he lifted it up and the waters parted and they walked through on dry ground. Whoa, God, I want a stick like that. And that's what most Christians do. We want a stick like that. We want a badge like that. We want to be a partner to that ministry like that. So we have that. We want to propagate all of that because they have it and we want it. Can I get one, Jesus? Why don't you give me one? You don't love me. How many know it wasn't the stick that was anointed? It was whose hand it was in. You can pick up a jawbone of a donkey. You can pick up a stick. It doesn't matter. God can turn that rod into a key that opens any door that previously has been locked. God can take that stick and transform it into a shield to protect you against the onslaught of the enemy. God can take that stick and make it into a weapon that you can throw back the advance of the enemy. He can take what is natural and turn it into supernatural because we walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, say that with me. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to encourage you to be you. You are best when you're you. You're not good trying to be somebody else. I mean, I've heard them all. I've heard all of these bands. They even cut their hair like them. They sing, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah. I'm saying, you're not the Beatles. Sit down. You're not them. I knew them, and you're not them. You know, we want to throw our coats at people. Receive the power of God, like Benny. You're not Benny. Just be you. Hey, but I only got one talent. God did not ask you to do anything that he did not equip you to perform. And that failure is not in your future. But every promise of God, yes, and amen. Oh, next week. Oh, I can't really wait to preach. You know what the title of my sermon next week is? Yes. God cannot. Yes. Before you get it out of your mouth, God says, yes. Tia and I took a couple days this week and we celebrated our anniversary. 43 years. That's a long time. I'm behind some of them. That's a long time. 43. What's it feel like, Carmen? Good. All right. 43. So we're walking around and telling people, you know, they're saying, hey, is this a special occasion? Yeah, it's our anniversary. How long have you been married? I was like, 43 years. Really? Wow, that's a long time. She doesn't even look like it. You do. I told one lady, I said, yeah, we've been married 43 years. Look what the Lord has done. We know where we started. We know that 3 years into our marriage, when we got saved, God changed our lives. And the change continues to ripple down through the generations. And I thank God for that. One lady said, 43 years. She said, man, all three of my marriages don't even add up to that. Good night. Only God. Come on. Look what the Lord has done. Come on. Look what the Lord has done. What does the song say? He healed my body. He healed my mind. He changed me just in time. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Only God can do those kind of things. But don't run the race of someone else. Stay in your lane. Zechariah 4:6, I'm almost done. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to engage me on this because this is the critical part, okay? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, Adam was nothing. Adam was no thing. Adam could do no thing until God breathed in him and became a living soul. I love the old song that says, let it breathe on me. Oh, let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Oh, let it breathe on me. And you know, the breath of God, friends, is what makes you, you. Until the breath of God enters you, you're just another hunk of clay. But when the breath of God comes upon you, it brings you to life. Don't let distance be created between you and God's breath. Elijah the prophet had been summoned and the little boy was dead in the upper room. Prophet, prophet, what you going to do? He said, let me go up and see about this. The scriptures tell us that he literally went into that bedroom and prostrated himself over this child. This is kind of a strange healing. But if you read the account, he literally laid down on top of him, put his arm on his arm and his face on his face. Now the boy was dead. The prophet breathed on him. Three times, not once, not twice, but three times. The fullness of the Godhead bodily got a hold of that thing called dead and brought it back to life. It's the breath of God. It's the breath of God. It's something that you and I must cherish. It's something you and I must seek for every day of our life. Quit trying to compare yourself and complain because you got 2 talents. You got 100, you got 50, you got 1. Quit looking at someone else's ability and their creativity. Understand something, that the breath of God that saved them is the breath of God that saved me. The breath of God that raised her will be the breath of God that will raise me. It is the breath of God that is available to all who want it. And I don't know about you, but I'm saying, God, breathe upon me, upon my family, upon my children, upon my children's children, and the generations to follow. I declare it, God, let your breath blow over us today in this room. God, every sickness, every malady, every disease, every confused mind, every crippled foot, every loss of hearing in the ear, every blind eye, every cancerous cell. Father, I thank you that leukemia has to bow at the breath of God. I thank you, Lord, that there is no weapon formed against us. It has to bow at the breath of God. And so we release the breath of God in this room right now. I'm telling you, you may feel weak, but you do not know how God is making you look to your enemy. You may feel defeated, but you don't know how God is making you look to your enemy. You may feel sick, but let me tell you, honey, you fake it until you make it. I'm not going to back down and I'm not going to back up, because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've been called to be a faith man, and I call things that are not as though they were. And I'm not going to let go of my faith, because I know without faith it's impossible to please God. So I recognize this morning that after the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you shall receive power, dunamis ability. I thank you, God, that I'm anointed. I thank you, God, that I have received your power, your ability to do things beyond natural limitation. You have to stop saying anything less than I am the best. Some say, well, that's kind of arrogant. Look, it, if I can get you to say, I am the best, that would be a huge upgrade to most of our mentalities, because we think we're dirt under the feet of the enemy. We think that we're second class. We think that God's forgotten us. We think that we don't measure up. We think that we've been rejected. We think that God doesn't love us. Stop it. God says you're nothing less than the best. And the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life, because I know that if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm almost done. You and I need to stay in faith. Stay on your faith spot. And when those thoughts, those rogue thoughts come, like last week, we lassoed them. And we took them to the cross, and there they were transformed. And they were the very thoughts that were going to defeat us, were transformed by the power of the resurrection that now created my aid, that helped me to multiply my talent, multiply my resource, multiply my influence. You see, the one who buried his talent was a person who was already defeated, who believed that it wasn't enough, that one talent from God wasn't enough. Look, I'm not an orator, as some can take a scripture and paint a picture for you and bind it in a book and give you volumes 1 and 2 by the time they finish their sermon. I don't have to be. I don't have to be a 5 or a 2. All I need is the 1. All I need to know is understand that God doesn't make second-class believers. That I woke up this morning just as anointed as anyone else. That the same breath that breathed on them has breathed on me. And I realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I realize today that Moses' rod was ordinary, but yet it was extraordinary. It was insignificant in the natural, but it was significant in the spiritual. Why? Because it was El Shaddai. In other words, I can make it to be anything you need. God can take your car keys and give you a miracle. God can take your electric bill and give you a miracle. God can take your neighbor that doesn't talk to you and make him a miracle. God can bring a son or a daughter home and make it a miracle. God can take a doctor's report that's negative and make it a miracle. God is specializing in making miracles, making that which does not exist. Have the faith of God. That's what he says. I can become what you need. I can become what you need to protect you. I can become what you need to provide for you. I can become what you need to promote you. That's what El Shaddai is. Literally in the Hebrew, many-breasted one. In other words, I can give you whatever you need at whatever time you need it. I can become whatever you need me to become, whatever situation you find yourself in. Remember, you're not in the wilderness. You're with me. You're abiding under the shadow of the Most High. You're in the palm of my hand. You're not in distress. You're in the palm of my hand. You're not in the wilderness. You're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you begin to tell yourself that and declare that to yourself over and over again, you're going to find yourself experiencing the miraculous ability of God. My last thought. This is not the time to shrink back in fear. This is not the time for you to retreat and to say, I can't. This is not the time for you to throw in the towel and give up. Some of you are even contemplating going back into the ways of the world. This isn't the time to compromise. This isn't the time for you to step back. This is a time for you, like David, to trust in the anointing of God that's upon your life and run to your Goliath. You're not going to run away. Your running days are over. You're not running away. You're running toward, because you know that God has got your back. You walk in covenant. God will never break his covenant with you. If you'll trust him and act in faith toward what he said, that giant is coming down in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Now, I want to review with you just a couple of things, and then I'm going to pray for you. Remember, we started this faith camp series, this summer faith camp. This is kind of like a boot camp in faith, reminders to many of us, but it's always good to stir up once again the remembrance of these things that we've been taught. That's what Peter said. So we understand that, like Hagar, what am I not seeing that God wants to reveal in my present situation? Hagar thought she was going to die, but suddenly God opened her eyes and she saw a well that she hadn't previously seen. I need to understand, what is it that I've already walked by, like Abraham on his journey up the trek of the Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac, and looked back and he saw the ram in the thicket? What if I walked by and believed that it wasn't available? What about explosive blessings? Have I become more weary and thinking I know more than God? Because I've been fishing all night, there's no fish left in the Galilee? Or can I trust God at his word and throw my net over to the other side one more time? Like Samson, to say one more time, lean me up against the pillars. You see, this is this concept of faith that you and I need to operate in every day. It's not something that we just do on occasion. It's how we live. It's how we eat breakfast. It's how we get dressed in the morning and drive in the car. It's how we relate to our people in our life. It's how we pray. It's how we worship. It's how we come to church. Honey, I never get out of faith. I stay in faith. I get on my faith spot and I refuse to be removed. Understand this, you're attached. You may not have always done everything right, but your name's Levi. And because you're Levi, God has made you a priest and a king forever through Christ our Lord. So do you know what? Your rod is going to blossom and it's going to bud and it's going to bear fruit in 24 hours. Understand that concept of the journey of the faith, that you and I can begin to believe that we have the faith of God. There are other teachings that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Invite somebody to be a part of it and say, come and hear how to walk by faith. Listen, I can give you all kinds of churchy things. I can get you up on your feet and shouting. I know how to do that. But if you don't understand faith, when the shouting's over, you're still as depressed as you were before you started shouting. And all it was a sedative for momentary relief. But honey, if you're going to take this truth and go home with it, suddenly where you live is going to start changing, because you realize you're bringing faith into that element, and that element cannot remain the same wherever there's faith. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that. So now, Father, I bless this congregation. I thank you, Lord, that there's not one person in this room that's defeated. There's not one person in this room depressed. Not one person in this room diseased. Father God, we thank you that your breath breathe on us, Holy Spirit, and bring us into another level, another place with you. I thank you, Father, that this congregation is hungry for the presence of God. That these are, Father, those that have come from the north, south, and east, and west, and have assembled in this room to become a testimony in this last day of the miraculous ability of God. We are end time revivalists. We thank you, Lord God, that we are going to see supernatural results as a result of our walk by faith. God, we're not looking for anything in the natural to substantiate our belief. What you said is enough. So, Father, I just put this in the heart of every person, that what you said is enough. And we're not going to be moved by what others say. We're not going to be moved by what we see in the natural. We're not going to be moved by the circumstances in our life. But we're going to stay on our faith spot. And we're not going to be moved because we believe that our God is able. Father God, bless the moms and the dads. Bless these children. I thank you that children are full of the Holy Ghost. Children are on assignment in the destiny of God. I thank you, Father, that there is health in this room. I come against every sickness, every disease, and I warn it right now. I tell you cancer, I tell you sickness and weakness, disease, malady, any kind of a manifestation of those elements, I tell you now, you better understand where you are coming into. The shadow of the Almighty. You are coming into the palm of His hand. You are coming into the very apple of His eye, the center of His eye, and the anointing will break every yoke in Jesus' name. Father, I decree and I declare over every person in this room, strong health, vibrant health. I declare over them, God, wisdom and a mind that is sharp and attentive. I declare over their spirit a sensitivity to the voice of God. I release prophetic ministry. I release, oh God, signs and wonders in the normalcy of life, just going through the normal things of life, the normal routines of life, and they will see, God, the miraculous ability of the Lord. I thank you, God, that marriages are improving. I thank you today, Lord, that promotion is coming to us. Increase financially. I thank you, Lord, that there is a witness in this region. God, even in the natural, of all eyes on this city. God, all eyes looking to this region as a resurgence and rebirth. Father, even more in the spirit, there is a rebirth. There is a resurgence. There is a renewal. In Jesus' name, I want to speak to those that have been backslidden, cooled off with their walk with God, thinking you've got it together, but truth be known, you know you're confused and lost. But today, you want to give yourself to God. You want to say, Lord, I want to be saved. If you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. You're not certain about your tomorrow, but God said these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants to transform your life from a garbage can into a 25-foot supernatural angel, an angelic being of great authority and power in your life. Today you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to rededicate my life. I need to give my life to Christ. I'm tired of churchianity. I'm tired of going through the motions. I want to give my life over to God 100% in Jesus' name. Nobody looking around, you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me with an upraised hand? You're acknowledging your need. Come on, shoot that hand up high enough for me to see if you need that prayer. Yes, yes, and yes, yes, back there, and yes, there. Anyone else? Back there, yes, and over there, yes, and over there, yes, and two yeses over there, and another yes there, and another yes there, and another yes there. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I'm going all the way with God. I'm expecting to walk by faith. Yes, sir, I see that hand. You can put it down as well. There are lots of yeses, and let me tell you, every promise of God is yea and amen to those who believe. That's next week's message. Don't miss it. But let me give you another opportunity. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand the first time, but I feel something inside of me. I can tell that God is speaking to me, and I want to make this decision for Christ, and I want it to stick. This is the time that I'm going to give to God. I'm going to run to my enemy. I'm not going to run away in fear. I'm going to walk by faith. Pray for me. Include me in this prayer. If you didn't include yourself the first time, this is your time. Anybody else in addition? Thank you, sir. I'm so glad I asked. Thank you, ma'am. So glad I asked. Anyone else? Anyone else? One right there. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you in the middle. God bless you. If I could, I'd come back there and hug you with my old sweaty self. Because I believe that God has a great plan for your life. You got to stop thinking that you're inferior, you're second rate, that you don't cut it. God can never use you. You're not smart enough, not pretty enough, not educated enough. That's not true. You are talented by God. And you have the breath of God all over you. That's what qualifies you. Nothing in the natural. I don't know how many people raise their hand. I got to see, suggest maybe at least 20. Christians are all around you that raise your hand. They're praying. They're praying for you right now. So Christians, would you engage in intercession underneath your breath and just believe that God is going to work on their behalf? Would you do that? Would you do that right now? So see, we're praying for you. This is all about you right now. This is all about you and God's plan for your future. So I'm going to ask right now if the altar ministers would come out from where you're standing and just line across the front, because we want to pray and engage in a special prayer just for you, because God has a miraculous plan for your life. And some of you are going to experience, you're going to experience the anointing of God when you come up here. You say, well, what is that? It's the empowerment for success. That's what it is. You're going to see and feel a tangible difference. Okay? So here's what I like for you to do. When we say stand, I want those of you that raise your hand before you go that way, I want you to come this way. And we want to pray with you. Why am I have to go up there? I don't want to go up there. Listen, it's not about coming up here. It's about you accepting by faith God's challenge to be saved. So you're saying, yes, pray for me. I want to be saved. How do I do this? How do I give my life to God? How do I move by faith and from the rest of my days on the earth? That's what you're doing, all right? So everybody together, if you raise your hand, I want you to come forward. So let's all stand, please. Church on the North Coast, continue to pray. This is a very important moment. Don't give up on prayer. Because right now there's a war in the heavenlies. There's a war in the heavenlies. Come on, there's a war in the heavenlies. And Jesus is going to win this war. Come on. Jesus is going to win this war. Come on. Jesus is going to win this war. Come on. Yeah. Jesus is going to win this war. Amen. Come on. Jesus is going to win this war. All right. Now, if you would so, with compassion, look at somebody and say, honey, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you if you didn't go the first time, because I don't want you to miss this. So look over at somebody and say, if you raise your hand and didn't go, I'll go with you. Can I take you down to the altar? Would you do that now? Just right and left behind you. Don't be uncomfortable with that. It's so important, because sometimes people need a helping hand. You know what I'm talking about? We need a helping hand. It's all right. So just take them by the hand and walk them to the front and let God be God in their life. Amen? Amen. There's more coming. There's more coming. Come on. Amen. Amen. Do we have any more prayer warriors available? Okay. We have more people coming, so this is a good thing. Any more altar ministers that can be available and come and help us? Okay, Jackie's coming. There's a couple of ladies right there, Jackie. And anybody else? All right. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. Patience. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Amen. Would you stretch a hand out to these, church? Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these that have come. We know, God, that they come from many backgrounds, walks of life. We know that, God, there are many things that have assailed against them. But we know today that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So we pray today, Father, for every soul, every life, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has walked this altar. We pray for them today, God, that they would be saved now. Be saved in Jesus' name. Be redeemed in Jesus' name. Come on, get in agreement with me, congregation, and just declare, be saved. Just declare, be saved in Jesus' name. Be redeemed in Jesus' name. We declare that it's going to happen, that God is going to do this. And so there are others that have come. Sir, do you need prayer? Yes, he needs prayer here. Lowell, this man needs prayer. Or John, Lowell, somebody right here, he needs prayer. Yeah. Anyone else that doesn't have prayer yet that's up front? Okay. Awesome. 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 Can we encourage all these with a great big hallelujah and a hand clap? Come on. Woo! 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 The kingdom of God is near. Amen. The kingdom of God is near. And it's in our mouth. It's in our mouth. The kingdom of God is in our mouth. That's what the Word of God says. So we declare you today to be blessed. 5 o'clock this afternoon, I hope some of you can make it with us. We'll be at Mentor Headling Park, and there'll be a baptism there. Bring a little picnic lunch and dessert to share. And we'll have a nice time together for a couple of hours. We'll look forward to seeing you. Don't forget, Wednesday night, I'll be teaching with the men, and ladies will be with Tina. It's going to be a good time on Wednesday. There's the address. Leave that address up for a little while so people can get it. But thanks for being here today. We're so blessed to be a part of your family's lives, and we're just kind of an honor to be here. So live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time, okay? God bless you. Be friendly with one another. Amen.